When Brother Michael announced that I was the one preaching, I started to look in the back to see who left, and nobody, surprisingly, nobody left. So thank you for staying. Turn your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 9. We're going to be reading verses 32 through 35. If you want to stand, we're going to read these three verses, Acts 9, 32 through 35. Somebody told me, if you don't preach 10 minutes, we're going to vote that Brother Tim Eggy preaches next time. So I'm going to try to hurry myself and preach quick. Acts chapter 9, verses 32 through 35, the Bible says, "And it came to pass, as Peter passed throughout all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed for 8 years, and was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. And all that dwelt at Lydda and Saron saw him and turned to the Lord." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you speak to our hearts this evening. Thank you for the group of people that are already here tonight. I pray, Lord, that you challenge our hearts, that you that we would be edified, that we would be challenged, that we'd be encouraged in your word tonight. And I pray, Lord, that you help our church, as the song was, the Babumaka and their family was singing, we believe in you. We believe that you can do great things. We believe that after the word of God is preached, you can see people saved and baptized and lives change because we believe in you. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us as we study your word, that we would become a different person, that we make decisions for you. Thank you again for tonight. We pray for our pastor and his family, help them, and that they would have a good time and bring them back safe here to our church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. In the passage here, turns from a dramatic change from the life of Saul to a chronicle to the life of Peter. Since the churches here had a rest in persecution, the apostles took time to visit different congregations, took time to visit different churches in order to build them up, in order to help them, in order to encourage them in the word. This shows that their emphasis was on discipleship, on helping other churches to reach the goal that God had for those churches. The Bible says in Romans 14:19, "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another." Someone said, everyone who makes it needs a mentor. And it's not that different in church. The way somebody makes it, the way somebody goes through a hard time, the way somebody stays in church is when they have somebody else in church encouraging them. Somebody in church go after them. Somebody in church calls them when they miss. Somebody in church just randomly call them and say, "We're praying for you. We love you. Thank you for being here in our church." That's what discipleship is all about. And these apostles were doing that. They were visiting churches. They were going, and like our passage says, they were going, in verse 32, throughout all quarters. They were going all over the place trying to encourage other Christians to live for God, to reach the potential that God has for their lives, for their churches. And in this passage tonight, we're going to read about the power of Christ to make a man whole. We're going to see the power of Christ to help somebody in need. We're going to see the power of Christ to see a life of a man change because of the power of Christ. Not the power of one person, not the power of an organization, but the power of the name of Jesus Christ. And in verses 32 and 33, if you go with me, we see that there was a need. In verse 32, the Bible says, "And it came to pass, as Peter passed throughout all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy." When we go out throughout all quarters, we're going to get to see people that are in need. People that are in need of physical need. People that are in need of emotional needs. People that are in need of spiritual needs. But we need to go throughout all the quarters to look at those people, to find those people. When you go through all the throughout all quarters, you see everybody's needs. And every church should exist for people in all quarters. People that are in need of physical needs, emotional needs, spiritual needs. The idea of targeting only a certain of people is not biblical. It's not what God wants us to do. He wants us to go out and reach everyone. That's why Christ died for everybody. That is the importance of having a church that goes out every Saturday and it goes out every day and preach the word to everybody. That is the importance of having a church like our church that we care about the needs of others. That's why we have ministers like RU. That's why we have ministers like Eagles Ministry. That's why we go out every Saturday and knock on people's doors and tell them about Jesus and tell them about our church. That's why we do that, because we see a need for our city to hear about the gospel. That's why we have bus routes, and that's why we have activities for our kids, for our teenagers, for our adults, for our couples, because we know there is a need. Whenever you think you have a need, I encourage you, go to the hospital, and you're going to see people that are in need and that we don't know of. We get to walk, we get to wake up every morning, and get up, go to work, go to school, whatever we need to do, but there's people that cannot do that. And what we need to do as a church, as a families, as individuals, is to go out throughout all the quarters and see the need of the people and tell them about Jesus. The apostles here, they went out. They were trying to encourage people. They were trying to encourage other congregations. And they saw there was a hopeless man. The Bible tells us that Aeneas had been bedridden for 8 years, unable to care for himself, unable to go to the park, unable to, I don't know if he doesn't say if he had family, but unable to take his kids to the park, unable to probably go to work and provide for his own needs. No doubt that he had tried every medical cure available in his days, but nothing had improved his condition. He was bedridden for 8 years. He was probably discouraged. He probably said, "There's no hope for me. There's no hope for me for the future." We don't know what condition he was, but he probably was discouraged because there's nothing he could do. There was nothing people could do for him. He was hopeless. But the disciples decided that we're going to go out. We're going to go throughout all the quarters and try to encourage people and found these hopeless men. There are hopeless people in our city in need of a Christian. There is a hopeless person. There's a hopeless family. There's a hopeless teenager that think that there's no hope for me anymore. They need a Christian. They need a soul winner. They need a pastor. They need a church like this church to go out and tell them there is hope. Someone loves you. Someone has a plan for you. Somebody wants to do something with your life, and this is how Jesus came and died for you and loved you. wants you to give you eternal life, wants you to change your direction from a place where you think there's no hope, where a place where you think there's nothing you can do, to a place where one day you're going to be walking the streets of gold and in the crystal sea. And I always get confused about those two things. But there is hope, and we need to tell those people there is hope. One day you were there, one day I was there, and somebody went throughout the quarters and knocked on the door and shared the gospel with you. Somebody at work shared the gospel with you, and your lives turn around. Your lives change, and you started having hope for you, for your family, for your kids. We see there is a hopeless man. There is someone out there that needs the gospel. There is someone out there that needs to hear there is hope. God wants to give you hope. Not only we see a hopeless man, but also we see a helpless man. He couldn't save himself. He couldn't cure himself. He couldn't make himself whole by himself. He needed someone. He needed someone to tell them. In Acts 8, 30 and 31, the Bible says, "And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some men should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him and explain him the gospel." There are people in need that are helpless. They don't know any other way. They don't know any other way to live. They don't know any other way to worship God or to read the Bible, except someone goes out and tell them. Find the time to go out and tell them about Jesus. Find out and take the time and explain him the gospel at work, at school, at your neighborhood, your next door neighbor. Somebody is helpless right now, saying, "I don't know what to do." But you are a Christian. God wants you to do something with your life as well with my life. Every lost person needs someone to care enough to share the gospel so they can understand and they can accept it and they can turn their life around and explain it to their kids and just start this domino reaction and their family reach another family and their kids will reach their kids, but start somewhere. It starts when a Christian cares enough to tell someone about Jesus. It doesn't have to be on a Saturday morning, which we would like you to be here on Saturday morning as a church, go out and tell them about Jesus. But you can tell them at the bus stop on Monday. You can tell them at the DMV on Tuesday. You can tell them on Wednesday when you're waiting to take the train. Or you can tell them on Thursday when you're already online in grocery store. You can tell them everywhere. But we just need to tell people about Jesus. Tell them about there is hope. Tell them you cannot save yourself, but Jesus can save you. We see there is a need. The man. The helpless man. But we also see in verse 34, if you read with me. "And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately." We see there is a miracle. We see there is a miracle. It was in the name of Jesus. It wasn't in the name of some famous preacher. It wasn't in the name of some false prophet. It was in the name of Jesus Christ that they told him, "Arise." The focus is on Jesus and his power. Not on man. Not on our organization, but on Jesus Christ. It wasn't because the apostles had charisma or had charm. It was because Jesus Christ in his power that man with palsy arose. It was because of Jesus Christ and his power that there was a miracle happen in this verse. The man had put his faith in the power of Jesus. We need to tell them to look to Jesus. We need to tell them to look to Christ. He's the only one that can save them. He's the only one that can help them. He's the only one that can give that miracle that that person needs. I remember when I was in college, I think I've shared this with you guys before, but I remember being in college, coming back for the summer, lined up a job that would pay my bills, that would raise money for the next semester. But there was an opportunity for me to go and do an internship in Alaska. And they told me, you don't know how much they're going to pay you. You don't know how much they're going to give you at the end of the summer. But if you want to serve the Lord, here's an opportunity. It was my time to decide, am I going to trust in what I already have, or am I going to trust in Jesus? Well, I trust in what I already had. I said, no, thank you. I keep what I already know I'm going to do. I already have a job. It's going to pay my bills. And God really spoke to my heart and said, you need to go out and trust me. So I decided to go out and see what the Lord would do with this opportunity. And the Lord just taught me a great lesson. And he showed me how he provided for me. And how I saw miracle after miracle that summer. How God provided with people that I already didn't even know. And they blessed me and helped me with my college the following semester. But it only took for someone to trust him. This man put his faith in the power of Jesus. Not on the power of that man that said arose, but on the power of Jesus Christ. Peter did not heal Aeneas. He was used by the Holy Spirit to bring healing to him. He might not use you, or he might not use me to heal someone today, but he can use you and he can use me to bring that message of love, that message of hope, that message that Christ died for them. God, Jesus Christ, can use us, and in the power of his name, people's lives can change. Not because of you, not because of your charisma, not because we have something to say of our own, but because of what the Bible says about Christ and about the Lord. God allowed his disciples these miracles to confirm the authority in the new church and the evidence of the power of God in their lives. God is not done making miracles. God is not done making miracles. There are lives out there that are just waiting for a Christian to come out and tell them there is hope. There are people out there that are waiting for a miracle, and you could be that miracle. I can be that miracle to bring this message of salvation and this message of that Christ loved them and Christ has the answer for every problem. After they accept Christ, do we have problems? We do have problems. But we have Christ that helps us through those problems. We see that this miracle, it was instant. In verse 34, it says, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately, the Bible says. There were no needs for follow-up treatments. There were no needs to go back to the doctor. There was an instant miracle in the life of this man. When the Holy Spirit brought healing to him, he was completely cured. Just the way God completely cured us of our sin when we accept him as our personal Savior. He made a miracle in our lives immediately. He saved us from this place called hell and gave us this place called heaven immediately. God has a power beyond any need that you and I might have, and shows faith in his power when we expect him to work according to his word. But we need to experience faith. We need to put our trust and faith in Jesus Christ. We see that there was a need. We see that there was a miracle. But we see also that decision of the people around it. Let's read in verse 35. The Bible says, and all that dwelt at Lydda and Sarah saw him and turned to the Lord. There was a decision of the people. They saw him. They saw doing that miracle. They saw seeing those lives change. They saw their testimony. They saw their lives. And let me tell you something. People do watch to see the power of God in our lives. Somebody said, that neighbor, that family member, that co-worker probably will never read a Bible. You and I will be the only Bible they read. What are they reading in us? What are they seeing in us? Do they see the power of God in our lives? Do they see the power of God in our families? Do they see the power of God whenever we have a need? Or do we have the same answer as those that don't have any hope? They see that. They see our lives. They see us going every Sunday and every Wednesday to church. They see how we're gonna respond to a need, how we're gonna respond to a problem. These people, they saw him. On a cold winter day, Thomas Carlyle was sitting near his fireplace when the door opened and a new pastor of a nearby church came to his house. After they had exchanged some words, the young preacher asked the philosopher, "What do you think our community needs more than anything else?" Without any hesitation, that philosopher answered, "What our community needs more than anything else is a man who knows God experientially, not simply from what he has learned from others." You know what? The people, our neighbors, our unsaved family members, they want to see us, and they want to see that we have experimented God in our lives. Not somebody that we hear from the pastor. Not something that we've heard from that evangelist. Not somebody that we've heard from somebody else, but something that God has done in our lives. Something that God has done in our lives, and the miracles that God have done in our lives, and that's how they're gonna see him. That's how they're going to see the Lord working in your lives like he worked in my life. Not only they saw him, but they turned to the Lord. In verse 35, the Bible says, "And all that dwelt at Lydda and Sarum saw him and turned to the Lord." A Bible-believing Christian was attacked by an atheist who said, "I don't understand how the blood of Jesus Christ can wash away my sin, nor do I believe it." You and Paul agreed on that answer, that Bible student. "How so?" the atheist asked. Turn to the first chapter of 1 Corinthians and read verse 18. The Bible says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." That atheist looked startled and began to study the Bible, where he soon found the cross to be the power of God unto his own salvation. We need to tell the people, and we need to help the people see him, see the Lord, and see the power of his name, and see how God has worked in our own lives. That's why when we go out and soul winning, we share the gospel with them, and we tell them what the Lord has done and how God sent his only begotten son to die for all this world. But we also tell them, indeed, and let me tell you what God has done for me. Let me tell you how God transformed my life. Let me tell you how God did a miracle in my life through my teenage son, or through my husband, or through my wife. They didn't know, they didn't want to do anything with God, but God touched their lives and they saw him and they turned to the Lord. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 1, Verse 5, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. Not the store, but the city. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 1:9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living true God. Tell someone God what God has done for you. Tell someone where were you and where you are now. And give all the glory and all the honor, and put your eyes on Christ and see how God transformed your life. Nothing influences a person to change like a changed life. Nothing influences a person to change like a changed life. Tell them what God did for you. Tell them the miracles that God has done in your life. Be a good testimony, and they would see him, and they would turn to him. If we will continue to pass through all the quarters and continue to preach the gospel, our city, our community will see lives change, and more souls will come to know Christ. But we need to first tell them about the power of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can tell them the Lord Jesus Christ is preached every Sunday in our church. The Lord Jesus Christ is preached every Wednesday. Every time we open those doors, God is honored and God is lifted up in our church. And we're going to see the power of God in our lives, in our church. And that way we'll see people's change. We see people coming and accepting Christ as their Savior the way you did and the way that I did. Somebody told us about Jesus. Somebody saw a need in our lives. Somebody saw that we were hopeless and helpless, that we needed a miracle, that we needed someone go out through all the quarters and tell them about Jesus. And we saw him, and we came to the Lord. Now that same story needs to be repeated every day. Every service, we need to have people come down the aisle saying the same testimony. Philippians 2:9-10, the Bible says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and give him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, because of the power of his name. We see a miracle happen. What are we going to do with that message? What are we going to do with what God has already given us? The apostles went throughout the quarters. They went to visit. They went to disciple. They went to encourage. They went to different congregations to try to build them up in Jesus. Somebody did that to us. What are we doing for them? It just takes a moment for us to drive around the city and see people that are hopeless and helpless. And we have that message. We have that message that can change their lives. Let's do something about it. Let's ask God to help us and to use us to bring the message of the power of his name, and that we would see people saved, baptized, lives changed and transformed, not because of a method, not because of an organization, but because of the power of his name. Let's pray.